Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Living Savior Church. So good to have all of you today. My goodness gracious. I guess I can start out like, are you glad you know Jesus? Amen, amen, and amen. I mean, as I walk through this group and people telling me about different things they've happened to them and how the Lord has blessed them, and I said, man, I'm so glad I met you. I said, well, you better be glad you met Jesus. They said, I am, but I met him through you. Well, I'm glad they met him through me too. I'm glad I've learned these things. I mean, just like a while ago, a lady come in, she said, Pastor, my faith is getting up there. She said, you know that black mole I had on my cheek that we prayed for? My lip? I said, yes. She said, look. I said, well, it's gone. She said, it is gone. Praise the Lord. She said, I'm obtaining faith. Yes. Do y'all know what the worst sin is in the church today? Yes, ma'am. That's it. Unbelief. Whoever said that, several of you said that, but that is the problem in the church today, is unbelief of the promises of God. It's really not a lack of faith, because God gave us the measure of faith, but it's the unbelief. Just think, when the apostles or disciples, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. What did he say? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to this mountain and say, be removed from here to yonder, and that mountain would obey you. Is that what he said, Donnie? So he said, whatever you say with your mouth, and here comes the clicker. If you can believe it in your heart, you can have it. Is that what he said? So where's the problem? Unbelief. We're not believing. If we can believe. So how do we obtain that awesome kind of faith? Get in the Word. Get in the Word, read it, study it, speak it, quote it. I mean, stay in the Word. Do you know that if you tell yourself a lie long enough, did you know you'll finally start believing that lie is the truth? You really will. So if you tell yourself the truth over and over and over, and it comes out of God's Word, that's going to get rid of unbelief, isn't it? It really is. I mean, it's just amazing that the problem in the church today is absolutely unbelief. You know, so we're going to work on that, aren't we? Now then, we've been talking about 2 Corinthians. I want to, one more time, some of you haven't been here in the last couple of Sundays. Some of you have been here every Sunday, but I'm going to kind of hit two verses in chapter 4 before we go to chapter 5 and 6 in 2 Corinthians. Now let me ask this question first. How many of you have a loved one that's lost? Anybody in here have a loved one that's lost? Okay, now why do we leave them lost? You say, I prayed for them. But maybe you didn't pray right. Maybe you didn't take the authority that belongs to you. Maybe you didn't do it God's way. Because who would ever dream that anybody would tell you after you walk up to them and say, I walked up to you and I told you. Say, I met this beautiful young lady right here on the street and I didn't know who she was. I walk up to her and I said, young lady, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, no, I don't. I don't have a clue who he is. I said, well, let me tell you about him. He is the most magnificent being you've ever seen. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He came to this earth and died for you. He's building you a home in heaven right now if you'll just make him Lord of your life. How would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? Can you imagine anybody saying no? But they do it all the time, don't they, Jane? You know, you say, how would you like to do it? No, I ain't interested. Does that happen all the time? Well, see, there's got to be a reason for that, doesn't there? Well, I've learned what that reason is because I found the answer in God's Word. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. And in the NLT, let's just use everything today in the NLT. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. I mean, if I walk up to this young lady now, let's say I know her today. This is Jane Sims. This woman knows Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Are you glad you made Jesus Lord of your life? Boy, did you see how quick that answer was? I mean, she didn't even have to think about that, did she? We don't have to think about it when we know Jesus. And we wonder why all these other folks don't do this, right? But, you know, if I were to ask the question in here, how many of you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Probably every one of you would hold up your hand. If I said, now then, how many of you are sorry you made Jesus Lord of your life? I bet you would not be a single hand go up. Nobody. Everybody's glad we made Jesus. Amen. I heard a preacher over at Lakeland one time do that very thing, and he said, you know, I've been preaching this gospel for 40 years. I've asked that question nearly every church I've preached in for the last 40 years, and he said, I've never had a taker on that second question. That's pretty good results, isn't it? Yeah. That we all those of us in this room, we all understand that, don't we?
Amen.
We do. But it says, if there's any lost, they're hidden. It said, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. And that's not us. That's not those of us that are in this room today. This is people that are outside this room. Let's see what the next verse says. Verse 4 says, because Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now, Satan has blinded the minds of people that don't believe. Look what that says. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You know, if that is true, and how many of you believe that is true? I mean, is it in God's word? So then if any time we have somebody that's lost, who's the culprit? Satan. He's blinded their mind. I mean, let's go to that Luke 10, 19 and 20 right quick, and let's see how much power the Lord gave us in this room that believe in him. Let's go to that Luke 10, 19 and 20, and let's see how much power God gave the believers, which is all of us in this room, the ones that are walking in obedience to God's word. Let's go to Luke 10, 19 and 20, and let's see what he says there, the power he's given us over this beast, Satan. Look, I have given you authority over... That just amazes me. I mean, I think about how many times I read that before I'd believe that. I could not believe. When I first started reading scriptures like this, I thought, you know, I don't know who he's talking to here. This can't be to me. You know, there's no way I have this kind of power. But I read that. Look, he's saying, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. He's talking to us. Is he talking to you and me, Michael?
Amen.
So if me and you got all power over this beast, how much does he have over us?
No.
I like those odds, don't you?
Amen.
I really do like that. You know, that if I've been given all power and all authority, and then he goes down there and says, over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among the snakes, that's the devil himself, and his scorpions or his demons, and you can crush them. Nothing will injure you. Is that good news? Now, who is the Lord telling that to? Jane, is that you and me?
That's us.
So, I mean, gee, we should never have to worry. If we walk up to somebody and he says, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't, nothing to do with that. You know, most of us don't know what to do. Do we? Most of us don't know what to do. Let's see what the next verse says. Verse 20. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. You know, I mean, I read that a lot of times, and I just thought, you know, this can't be true. If this is true, here is an invisible spirit that we call demons, evil spirits, that I and you have been given how much power over? If you and me have been given all power and all authority over these critters, and they have to be subject to us, then when we walk up to somebody, like I walk up to this lady and I tell her about Jesus and she says, I'm not interested, then what should I do? Just walk off and say, well, I'm sorry, ma'am. But that's what we do. We ought to look her right in the eye and say, you know, let me just shake your hand. And you take her by the hand and say, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of her right this minute in the name of Jesus and stop blinding her mind to the truth. Now, Lord, convict her of sin. Now, lady, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? Oh, I think I would. Did you hear that? You have no idea how many times I've done that in my life. You have no idea. I've done it with children. I've done it with adults. I've done it with men that were older men. I mean, the later life men, that when I walk up to them, only thing comes out of their mouth is blankety blank, 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 blank. If they said anything about Jesus, it was a curse word. I remember one guy one time, his name was Larry. I said, boy, when I heard all this cussing, I said, what'd you say your name was? He said, Larry. I said, good. I said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, I don't want you to pray for me. Don't you pray for me. I was raised a Catholic. And I don't believe in that blankety-blank Christian stuff. I said, you don't have nothing to say about it. You can't stop me. So let me give you the exact example of what I did the next morning. On the way to work, I'm driving down the road in my pickup. Now, first of all, how much power do we have over the enemy? Do these evil spirits have to obey us? I mean, did we just read that in the Word? They have to obey us. So, I mean, and most of us are afraid of the devil and his demons. Most Christians that I've met, they're afraid of him. I mean, I've seen pastors that were afraid of the devil. I mean, we do not know who we are. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he just made a statement there. He didn't say, I gave you a little power over that beast, did he? He said, I gave you how much power? So, Jane, how much does he have?
None.
How much do we have? So should we be jumping up and down and rejoicing and praising God because he's given us all power? So anyway, I get in my pickup the next morning and I start down that road right there and I'm headed toward work, DFW Airport. As I get out on the highway out there, I say, Satan, I'm commanding you to come and sit down right there in the seat in my pickup in Jesus' name. Somebody says, oh my goodness, be careful. How much power do I have over this beast? Do I have to be afraid of him? If I'm afraid of him, what does that mean? That means I ain't got no faith. I don't believe nothing that's in the Word. I'm not walking in faith. I'm walking in fear. Well, let me tell you what. I believe, if it's written in that book, I believe the Master meant exactly what he said. Don't you? So I told the devil, I said, devil, I'm moving into this place down here at DFW Airport. And I saw you yesterday everywhere. I saw women fussing at men. I saw people cussing at each other. I saw people doing all kinds of things that was sin. I said, Satan, I'm moving into DFW Airport and you're moving out. How much power do you and me have over that devil? I think it's time we tell him what's going on. So I asked the Lord after I spoke to the devil and I told him, I said, now I demand, I know you've blinded the mind of this man, Larry. Is that what the Word says? So Larry's mind has been blinded. Otherwise, he's a good man. He would want to accept you as Lord and Savior. So I am demanding, Satan, that you and your wicked spirits get your hands off of Larry and keep them off of him in the name of Jesus. Now then, you have to obey me. It's written in God's Word. Am I doing what the Scripture says? Is this exactly what God told you and me we could do? So I commanded him to leave, and I said, and I command you to stop blinding his mind to the truth. I said, now, Father, I ask you to begin to convict Larry of sin and draw him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him. Because John 6:44 says, no one can come in except to be drawn by the Spirit of God. So now then I come to my Heavenly Father and my brother Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I ask Father in Jesus' name to send that Holy Spirit to convict Larry of sin and draw him into the kingdom. And then what's the last thing you need to do? Thank him for your answer. If you believed you got your answer, you ought to thank him for that. Because did everything we do, was it written in the book? So how much power do we have over the devil? Does he have to be subject to us? So should we be concerned about the devil? If the devil's the one blinding the mind of people that don't know the truth, then why do we just walk off and let this beast beat up on all these people and we do nothing about it? It's because we don't know who we are. We've not realized the most greatest and awesome thing in the world is this is the mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. What's the answer? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where is Jesus Christ at right now, Jane? He's in you. So when you walk down the street, there should be warring angels walking around you because they're walking there right. The Master is living inside of you. Is that right?
That's right.
So if the Master is living inside of you and me, should we have any kind of fear or doubts about anything? I mean, you know, I can only imagine the times in my life when I didn't know these things. I mean, it's a good thing I knew a little about this when I was in Vietnam, because that's a place you can kind of lose it if you're not, you know, I hope none of you ever have to go to a place like that, especially during wartime. War is hell. You know that? I lost a lot of friends over there, but praise God. But I knew who I was in Christ. And I believe with all my heart, because of my mother's prayer and my dad's prayer and me knowing who I was in Christ, that's the only reason I got back. I believe that's the only reason I came back. And then after I left there, I said, well, one thing about it, I will never come back to Vietnam as long as I live. Never. Well, you don't make a statement like that, because I come back to the States, finished my education, and I got my engineering degree. I got my all the credentials I needed to fly and engineer an airplane, and I got all these things. And then I went to work for Seaboard World Airlines, and guess where I started flying? From San Francisco to Da Nang, Vietnam. Two trips a month. I thought, well, don't ever say never. But I lived over that. Two trips a month, flying in and out of there, getting shot at and everything else. But if you know who God is, can anything touch you if you know who you are in Christ? No, until He's through with you, until He calls you home, there ain't nothing can be done. I mean, there ain't nothing can touch you, nothing. As long as you know who you are and you're walking in total faith, you know, so whenever I started, when I started coming against the enemy, commanding him to get out of Larry's life and do all these things, asking the Lord to convict him of sin, probably, and every day I prayed a prayer similar to that, praise the Lord and thank Him. I didn't just do that once or twice. I did it several times over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then one day, guess who come walking in my office? Larry. He said, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I went in real early one morning to work on a computer program, because I used to, when I did that kind of work, I needed total peace and quiet and no disturbances to work on a computer program. Because you click in one place, one click in the wrong place throws everything out of whack. Doesn't it, Gracie? Yeah, you know what I mean, right? You got to have everything just right. So anyway, I was sitting in my office working on a computer program, and this guy, Larry, walks in with his cup of coffee and says, Thurman, he says, can I sit here and talk to you a minute while I drink my coffee? I said, sure, sit down, have a seat. He said, by the way, where do you go to church? Now, this is a guy that a few weeks ago, I wouldn't even begin to use the foul words that come out of his mouth in his church, never. But he was cussing me, and he said, now, that's the question, is where do you go to church? And I said, I go to the First Baptist Church in Justin. That's where I went at the time. He said, what do you think about so-and-so, a pastor that had failed? I said, well, he made a mistake. Well, what do you think about this other pastor down here in Dallas that made a big mistake with some money? And I said, well, you know, God's in control. He knows what He's doing. He can take care of His boys. You know, that's not my problem. You know, I said, God, it's not my job to judge them. That's God's job. I said, I'm just going to walk in obedience to His word. He says, don't you think that the only reason those men like that guy is a preacher is because they can make a lot of money? I said, Larry, most pastors don't make a lot of money. You know, that's probably one of the lowest paying jobs there is out there. I said, men preach the word of God because they love Jesus and they want to be about His business. I said, they don't want to see people go to hell. I said, you know, the enemy will put in your mind, don't go down to that church, because all that guy's going to do is ask you for your money. And I said, God's the one, He's the one said, give me the money. It wasn't the pastor. If the pastor says that, he's just repeating what the Word of God says. I said, because it commands us to be tithers. And I said, most people are not. And most pastors won't teach tithing because they're afraid that it'll make their congregation upset because they're preaching about money and they want to leave. I said, but you know, if you don't preach it, I said, you got to teach what God says. I said, it costs money to do the kingdom of God. That's just all there is to it. And he says, you don't think that they just do it for money, huh? I said, no. I said, Larry, the thing about it is, men like you, I said, you've heard those kind of things, and you listen to somebody which is really the enemy. And I said, he's telling you now, don't go down there, because if you do that, God's going to tell you to give to his church. I said, and then you're going to get offended, you're going to not come. And so I said, then you'll go through life, and then you'll die one day. I said, when you die, there will be a little creature, maybe three or four of them. They'll come right up out of the floor, and they'll grab you by the arm, and they'll say, ah, we fooled you. All those years you believed us instead of them. Now you're going to spend an eternity in a godless hell with us. And boy, he nearly spilled his cup of coffee. He jumped up and he said, that ain't going to happen to me. I said, it's going to happen to you if you don't change your ways. Now see, you got to be a bold Christian. Most Christians, they won't talk to you like I talk to you. They won't tell you the truth like I tell you the truth. But this is a man, and I know how men work. I am one. And if his mind has been blinded by the God of this world, I know how his mind works. He don't want nothing to do with Jesus. But he doesn't understand the consequences. So it's going to be up to me to give it to him point blank. This is what you're going to have to do. I said, if you don't listen to the Lord, and you don't start going to church, and you don't make Jesus Lord of your life, you will absolutely spend eternity in that lake of fire with that devil of hell. I said, and he'll laugh at you for eternity, saying, you fool. The price of salvation was paid for. Jesus did it, and I deceived you. I blinded your mind, and you never accepted Jesus. Now you're going to spend eternity with me in a lake of fire. Would anybody in their right mind want to spend eternity in a lake of fire? No. Their mind has to be blinded by the God of this world. So I told, just like the scripture told us. So I told him, I said, he said, what do I need to do? I said, well, you getting ready to go home? He said, yeah. I said, well, stop by Walmart and get you a living Bible. And then start with Matthew and read to the end of the book. And as you have questions, call me. Now then, if you haven't read the book yourself, don't tell the guy to call you. Because you need to have read it a few times yourself, right? You need to be able to answer his questions. So if you haven't read the Bible, you know, 10 or 20 or 30, 40, 50 times, at least the New Testament. If you haven't, you need to start today to say, okay, today, Lord, I'm going to start in the book of Matthew. I'm going to listen to it on CD, on tape, or whatever. But I'm going to listen to your word. And when I'm driving down the road, I may not get all of it, but I'm going to do what I can. And I can tell you there's been times, just like 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I have turned 1st and 2nd Corinthians on in two or three different translations, and all I listen to for 3 weeks every time I'm in my truck is 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The next time it may be Luke or the, who knows? But I don't just ride around out there and do nothing. I want to be productive for the kingdom of God. Is that right?
Amen.
You want to learn something. You don't want to be doing nothing. And so, probably 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something later, he called and said, Thurman, I'm over here in the book of Romans. I got to come by and talk to you. I said, okay, come by. He come up. He says, you know, I don't understand this. This says in Romans 10 that if I will confess with my mouth and I'll believe with my heart that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, I'll be saved. Now, who do you think revealed that to him as he's reading the book? The Holy Spirit. Did I ask the Lord to do that? Absolutely, I did. Now then, when I took that and kicked that beast and his demons and his wicked spirits out of Larry's life so they can't blind his mind no more, now can God get through? Yeah, see, if people's mind is blinded, and I just like I did this a while ago with Jane. I used to couldn't understand that Jane at all when I'd walk up to a precious human being, maybe a lady or maybe a man, maybe a little child, and I'd tell them about the best thing ever happened to me. Would you like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No, I'm not interested. You know, I'd look at her and think, what is wrong with these idiots? I mean, you didn't want to say that, you know, but that's what you were thinking. You know what I mean? And is that a good thought to wonder why? This is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I'm telling you about it, and you're not the least bit interested. There's got to be something wrong with you. And I might come back and say, but, you know, if you don't do this, you may have to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Oh, I'm not interested. Now, do you think they understood what you just said? No, they didn't get it. It went right over their head. They didn't get it because the devil was there blinding their mind to the truth. And until we kick him out. And how much power do we have over him? Ladies and gentlemen, if we have been given all power and all authority over the enemy, we should never let him do this to our loved ones. I mean, we need to do something in faith. Jeff and I talked about this again this last week. He said that story you told the other day really, really stuck with me. Whenever I told the story a couple of weeks ago about a pastor friend of mine, that the Lord put him in a healing ministry similar to what he put me in, and later in his life, the Lord told him, said, I'm going to put a special anointing upon you that any time, in fact, the Lord appeared to him. He said, I saw the Lord. He said, put your hands, palms up. And he said, I did. And said, the Lord took the first finger on each finger and he laid it right in the center of the palm of my hand. And said, and he said, when he did that, I felt a fire go into my hands. And he said, I'm going to put a special anointing upon you so that anytime you touch somebody that has a demon, you will feel that fire in your body, in your hands. So he said, I went along there for several weeks and didn't feel nothing. You know, and I said, one day they brought a man down. He was so crippled. He couldn't even bend over. He walked like this. It took two men to hold him up. He just barely takes little bitty steps. He said, they finally got him down there. And he said, I reached up and touched him. He said, when I touched him, I just reached up and laid my hands on him. Zap! I felt, oh my goodness gracious, there's that demon. He's got a demon. Now, if the Lord tells you, I'm going to put this special anointing upon you, and every time you touch somebody, you feel that fire, that man's got a demon, what do you think you're supposed to do? Cast it out. That's exactly right. That's what you're supposed to do. The Lord told us in His Word, He gave us power. How much power over these devils? So we are to cast them out just like He did, right? Yes. Speak to them. Command them to leave. It's not a problem. But you got to do it in total faith. I mean, they're a whole lot smarter than we give them credit. So he said, I felt him and he had that fire. So he said, I told him, okay. I said, now then, he said, I commanded the demon to come out. Now I said, mister, see if you can bend over and touch your toes. And he said, the guy couldn't. He was as solid as a rock. He said, I touched him again and the fire was still there. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit to come out. Now see if you can bend over and touch your toes. He said, he couldn't move. Three times we did this and finally I said, well, it don't work. It didn't work. You know, so I don't know what's wrong. So he said, I don't know what to do. So let me pray for somebody else. So he said, I started to pray for somebody else. I turned here like this. When I did, I looked up and there stood the master. Uh-oh. Stand up, Jane. You're the master. And you looked at me. Is he in you?
Yes, I'm in.
Okay, amen. He's in you. So if I turn here and there he is, and you look up and you raise your hand and point it at me and say, I said, he would come out.
He would come out.
In my name.
In my name.
Lord, I did everything you said and he didn't come out. And he said,
you didn't believe.
No. He said, I said, in my name, he would come out.
He would come out.
I said, Lord, I did it. Lord, I did it three times. Lord, I don't know what I did wrong, but I did something wrong. And then the last time he said, when I said that, he said, when the Lord put his finger almost on the end of my nose and said, I said in my name, he would come out. Mm-hmm. How would you like for the master to talk to you like that?
I think I would believe it.
You think now you'd believe it? But you know, he is talking to us like that. He is telling us, he's given us that kind of power. So he, right then he said, I called them. I said, they was nearly back to the back with that guy. I said, bring that guy back down here. He said, they've got him back down there. And I put my hands on him and there was the fire. The demons were still there. So I told him, now then I'm casting these demons out of you in the name of Jesus. And they're going to leave. Then he said, now, mister, bend over and touch your toes. Now he only used one word different in his sentences. The first three times he said, now see, if. Now is that unbelief?
Yes.
Yeah, unbelief. Now see if. And three times the devil knew he didn't believe. I thought about that lady out in Silver City, New Mexico, when Cheryl and me and Dave spent 7.5 hours casting demons out of that woman. Now, y'all ain't lived till you've been there and seen that experience, I'll tell you for sure. But this is a real thing that happened to me and Cheryl and Dave. We were there. Dave held this woman's feet down. Cheryl put mopping up the stuff that comes out of her mouth. I'm holding this woman down. Part of the time, I'm straddled of her on top of our bed in her bedroom after we finally went up there, because in the breakfast room where we were, This woman is cussing. She's throwing stuff. She's levitating. I never saw people do this. I never saw anybody just fly across the room 3 feet off the floor. You know, a woman that weighs 120 pounds. I never saw anybody do that until this experience. But these demons do crazy things. Well, we saw it, didn't we, honey? Yeah, we saw it. We got to see it. Dave got to see it. So this is not just a story that I have. We all had this for 7.5 hours. And then at 7.5 hours, I asked the Lord something similar, like this guy did. My friend, I said, Lord, we've been after this demon, these demons. There was 2,823 demons in this woman when we started. Is that a lot of demons? How much power do I have over those things? So why weren't they all coming out? There's two of them. The last two wouldn't come out. They just wouldn't come out. And so finally, I mean, we got all the rest of them. 2,821 of these things we got out, but two of them would not come out. So I sitting there on top of her, holding her down because she's wild, and Cheryl's there, and Dave's down there holding her feet, keep her from kicking me in the back. And I look over there at that clock, and there's that clock, and I said, Lord, I've got to preach in an hour at that church. I said, when is this going to be over? And this is what he said to me, forever changed my life. He said, son, it's going to be over when you believe it's over. Now, is that awesome? Yeah. In other words, I've done it all. I'm the master. I paid the price on the cross. I told you I give you all power and all authority over them beasts. When you believe it, that's when them last two is going to leave. So who was the problem? Me. Exactly right. Me. Cheryl was there. She heard that. Dave was there. He heard that. But I was the only one at that point that got a hold of it. I shook that woman one more time, and I screamed at her to the top of my lungs. I said, woman, this time I totally believe God. I have no doubt in my heart, none whatsoever. I said, you last two demons, you are coming out of this woman. You're going to leave her, and you're never going to enter again. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's done. And I slammed her down on that bed, knocked myself completely off, stood up and said, woman, get up. I guarantee you're delivered in the name of Jesus. Do you hear any faith in that?
Yeah.
You didn't hear no ifs in that, did you?
No ifs.
And guess what that woman did? She opened her eyes and looked up at Cheryl and says, who are you? And she looked down at her feet and she says, what are you doing to me down there? Then she looked up at me and she said, what's going on? I said, ma'am, you're delivered. Where am I? I said, you're delivered. We had been doing this for 7.5 hours. Now then, how much power do we have over these demons? Don't y'all think it's time we start doing something in faith? Especially after the Master has written in his book what he did for us and the power he gave us. Don't we, or shouldn't we, do something in faith? I think we should do everything in faith, don't you? Because that woman was completely delivered and completely healed. That last statement. Now then, I will have to say, after seeing that, it was only a few months later, Cheryl and I went to Norway. We went to Norway, and we're preaching over there, and of course, I'm teaching in the school. At first, they usually when I get there, they want me to teach in their school, their Christian school. Yeah, so anyway, after the class was over at noon, there was a man and a woman, older man and a woman, he came down, and she was in a wheelchair for the last 7 years, I think, 6 or 7 years, a long time. And then there was another woman, much younger woman, and her husband. They were probably in their late 40s or 50, early 50s, that she had some kind of a problem. And so they wanted me to deliver both of them and pray for the other woman. So, I looked at that, and the guy said, well, you know, if you'd like, since it's lunchtime, we'll go ahead and go to lunch. I said, no. I don't want to go to lunch and let this woman suffer another minute. I mean, I'm thinking what Jesus said. Should not this woman, which Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed of her infirmity in Luke 13? Is that what he said? Should not this woman that's been bound by who?
Satan
for 18 years be loosed? And then he says, woman, you're loosed. And she stood up. So I said, no, we'll do it right now. And I looked at Cheryl and I said, I'm going to put my hands on her. And I put my hands on this probably 45, 50-year-old woman. And I just she kind of shook her one time. When I did, she snapped to me and looked me straight in the eye. When she did, I said, "Come out of her, you beast, in the name of Jesus." And boy, when I said that, this woman screamed at the top of her lungs and her feet went out from under. It's down on the floor and I'm falling with her as I go down there. I said, "Honey, get down here with me." I said, "This ain't going to take 7.5 hours, I guarantee." Is that what I said? We're down on the floor. I got a hold of this woman. I'm pounding her down on the floor and I'm holding her arms down. Cheryl's holding her feet down. I said, "Now, you devil of hell, I ain't speaking to you but one time." I said, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her and go to the abyss of hell. Don't you ever enter again in the name of Jesus." I turned her loose. When I turned her loose, I turned Cheryl loose and I got up and I said, "Praise God." I said, "Woman, you're delivered." And she stood up and she was, wow. She was completely delivered. And then the other little lady, which was several years older than her in a wheelchair, I looked over at her and I said, "Sir," talk to her husband. I said, "What do y'all need?" He looked and his eyes is big and her eyes are big. And he says, "Well, my wife has trouble. She can't walk. She 8 years, what he said, my wife hasn't walked in 8 years. I said, "She's just bound by this devil too." I just reached up and grabbed her and shook her one time. I said, "Come out of her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus." I grabbed the lady by the hand and jerked her and she just come out of the wheelchair running like this. Now, wait, how much power do you and me have over these devils? I think it's time we remember who we are as sons and daughters of God. We're not just anybody. Those of you that are in this room today, we have been given a book that we don't believe. We don't read these powerful things. And when we read them, we think, "That could not be for me. I mean, to cast out a demon. I've been going to church all my life. I never seen a pastor cast out a demon." But you got to start somewhere, right? Eric, one more time. How much power do I have over them devils?
All power.
All? That couldn't possibly say that. Is that what it said? If I got all power over them things, Andy, why do I let them devils run over me? Why do we let them devils run over us?
You don't have faith to believe.
That's right. We really don't. These things, if anybody is lost, that's not us in this room. But let me tell you something else. Although we're not lost in this room, the devil is still blinding our mind to some of the truths of God's Word. You know that? Because every time we go to do something great for the kingdom of God, or every time that maybe you're in an airport, or maybe you're like Cheryl and I was over there in Norway, when we start, in fact, I got to tell you this, at Norway, whenever we kicked those devils out of that woman, that evening when the owner of the TV network came in, he said, "Thurman, how'd this class go today?" I said, "Oh, it was great." And I said, "We had a kind of a unique experience with a few demons." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, we cast out a few demons and got a couple of people healed." He said, "Oh, you did?" He said, I forget now what the guy's name was that was there. He went to the doctor and said, I would love to have you give your testimony tonight on the TV, because we were going to teach a couple hours on TV. And she says, I don't want to have to get in front of all those people and tell my testimony. And he said, "But ma'am, you're bringing glory to God." She said, I just can't do it. And boy, he began to really push her. And I said, John, don't push her. I said, "I don't know what the problem is here, but we got a problem here." I said, "Just be patient. Just wait." Well, the next morning, when we come to church or to school, that man and his wife came and he said, "We have a side effect from the deliverance yesterday." Now, I've heard of side effects by taking medicine, haven't you, Jane? But I ain't never heard of a side effect from a deliverance. So that was a new one on me. But you got to remember, they're Norwegian and I'm Texas English. And so, you know, there's got to be some, you know, disconnect there. I said, "So what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, the side effect is this. My wife has not been able to hear out of either ear for a long time without really powerful hearing aids. But it said this morning when she woke up and I started saying something, she said, 'Oh, I must have slept with my hearing aids in last night. I can hear you perfect.'" And we looked and there's her hearing aids laying over there on the table. He says, "We had a side effect from the deliverance." Now then, by kicking them devils out of her, not only did the woman get delivered from the demons, but there was demons in her ears that was causing her not to be able to hear. And what happened to them? They went away too. And by the next morning, she could hear perfect. And so then when Jan says, wow, now I would really love for y'all to get on the set with me, she says, I'll be happy to tell everybody what Jesus has done for me now. And so she had no problem, that woman and her husband and Jan, the owner of the TV network, they got on there, and of course they were speaking in Norwegian. I don't know what they were saying, but the people that was watching knew what they were saying. And I know they were glorifying God, because there's no doubt who did all this, and it was all Jesus. But Jesus does it through you and me. Is that right? He does it through us. I just stand in awe at the things I'm learning and the awesomeness of God and the power that He gives us in this word. The more I read this word, the more I realize the only problem is not the lack of faith. The only problem is unbelief of these promises. Does that make sense? Behold, I give unto you power to cast out them demons of hell. They have to obey you, Jane. You just command them, but you got to do it in faith. If there's any doubt in your heart, it won't work. You see what I mean? So guess what? We doubt, don't we? We do. I've told this story many times, but since Jane is here today, I've got to tell you that she had the husband with the most greatest faith any man I ever met. I'm telling you, their grandson, Zach, was being swung around by an uncle or a cousin or something. Swung around like this. And the uncle got dizzy and got too close to the back of the pickup, and little Zach's eye hit the trailer hitch ball. Is that right, Jane? As he was slinging around like this, his uncle or cousin or whatever it was, slung him in. And how old was Zach at the time, 9 or 10?
No, he was 7.
7. Zach was 7 at that time. And he slung his head. And Zach told me when I spoke to him one time when I was down at their home, little Zach said, I felt my eye hit the back of my head. When my eye hit that ball on that trailer hitch, at the weight of a human body being slung by an adult, he felt his eyeball hit the back of his head and then come back. And then her husband, Jack, ran over there and throwed himself upon that little grandson and began to quote the promises of God. Now, you talk about not being in unbelief that day, that man was not in unbelief. But he started speaking the promises of God. And then he started saying things like, now, God, you made me these promises. You told me to ask anything. So I'm telling you, God, on behalf of your promises, when I take my hands off of my grandson's head, I don't want to see no damage to that eye. I don't even want to see a bruise on that eye in the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you got that kind of faith? Almost nobody in this room. Oh, yeah, and Lord, take the spirit of pain away from him. All those things. And then when Jack, her husband, took his hands off of little Zach's head and he turned over and looked, his eye was not even bruised or black. I love to tell that story when you're here, see, to make sure I don't stretch it a little bit somewhere. Because that's a stretchable story, you know it? Do you all see what God does when we step into faith? Now, her husband, if he'd had one little doubt of faith in his heart, little Zach might have lost his eye. Yeah. You know that? He could easily have lost his eye. Are we grateful that we have some men and women of real faith? Because when we take these promises that God put in His Word for you and me, and we act on these things in total belief and not unbelief, we get to see the glory of God, do we not?
Amen.
Well, let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's time, at least this little church, I would like for us to get into a walk of faith so that we know these promises, so that anytime anybody wants to be prayed for, we can pray for them and see awesome things happen. Because I'm telling you, the only thing that separates us from the miracles is us. God is there. He made the promises. We know what they say. We just don't believe them. Is that true? You know, I'll tell you. I mean, as much faith as my wife has got, I can think of the times when something happened or she gets hurt or she falls down or whatever, and the first words out of her mouth was, I got to see how bad the bruise is. I know. I've had to swatter a couple of times, you know. Swatter on the backside and say, woman, hush, I don't want to hear that no more. Some of you think, my gosh, I can't believe you're so weaned to your wife. But let me tell you what, when she listens to me and repents, whenever I raise her up, it's just like Jack, only that his is a whole lot more greater than mine was. But several times I prayed for Cheryl, and when I pray, immediately she's got that unbelief. I can tell by what she says. You know, you can tell. And if you don't catch it right there, guess what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. You're going to show the bruises, you know. And it's like most of us, if we do something or fall down or get hurt, you know, this is the way we do it. We're fixing to go outside and there's ice and snow. You look out there and think, oh my gosh, if I go out there, I'm probably going to fall down and break a leg. Have you heard people do that? Is that true, Miss Jackie? I mean, so why, as Christians, why in the world do we talk like that? Unbelief. I mean, but we do that, don't we? I mean, negative stuff. I mean, we're just so loaded down with negative stuff. But, you know, we've seen enough of the principles of God. We, even in this little church, we've seen enough people healed in this church to know that God is a healer. Do y'all know that? I mean, there's probably dozens of y'all today. If I were to ask you to hold up your hand, dozens of you would hold your hand up and say, I got healed here. I got healed here when he prayed for me or she prayed for me or whatever. But I got healed here. You know, we know it works, don't we? So why do we go about and not believe these promises? Just think. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. These evil spirits, what are they supposed to do? Obey. They're supposed to obey us. Now, what if you do it like my pastor friend did when he says, I command you to come out now, see if you can bend over and touch your toes. Do you hear any faith in that? But see, he didn't realize what he was doing. Nobody got it. I mean, I listened to the tape that he made that on. I didn't even get it. I thought, well, I wonder why it didn't work. And every time when I come back, every time after I heard the truth, then I thought, good grief. I can just see that demon there saying, listen at this fool. Listen at him. He thinks he's a man of God. He thinks being anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Now then, if Jesus hadn't been there to show up to tell him, but I said, if he hadn't have done that, that man would probably never have used that again. He might have. He might have done it once or twice more with somebody else when he found a demon. He said, but you know, what would have been the thought? Well, I wonder if it's going to work this time. Can't you just see that? Where do you think those kind of thoughts come from? From the enemy. He's wanting to blind your mind. That's just like the first night that God told me in 1986 that Ed Brock had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Whenever I heard the Lord, whenever his wife told me he had terminal cancer, 42 years old, and I heard the Lord audibly say to me, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I'll heal him. Now then, as I walked out of that room down the corridors, which is at least as wide as this aisle, I looked up and I said, Lord, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. Can you imagine saying something like that to God? You talk about unbelief. I mean, I'm full of unbelief. I mean, it slipped my mind that he's the one that said, let there be light, and light was. He was the one that said, and let that other galaxy over yonder. And let me have a trillion stars right off over yonder. See, I mean, I've lost it. You know, I mean, I forgot who he is. I forgot who I was. I forgot who's in me. I forgot the mystery that's hidden before the foundation of the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So where is the master today? He's out here in every one of us. Everyone brought him with us today. So we need to get rid of this unbelief. But anyway, as I was telling you, when I went home and found a scripture, it took me hours as a Southern Baptist, I finally found a scripture. And this scripture, and I want us to look at this, because this scripture, when I found this, James 5, 14, 15, and 16, or at least 14 and 15, at least those two, I'm going to tell you exactly what Ed said when I read this to him. James 5, 14, are any of you sick? Now, first, who's that include? Are any of you sick? That's us, right? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now then, any dummy could do that. It don't take a special person to do. Anybody could walk up to somebody and say, oil in the name of Jesus. Could anybody do that? Sure. Anybody could do that. Well, let's see what the next verse says in verse 15. Such a prayer offered in faith. Now see, there's the clincher. Such a prayer offered in what?
Faith.
In faith. It didn't say unbelief. It didn't say, now, Lord, if it be your will. But that's what we do. We pray, Lord, if it be your will. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. I mean, is that an awesome, awesome promise?
Yes.
So should there be anybody sick in the church?
No.
No. So, just like Ed. That night, whenever I told him, I said, Ed, I have a word from God for you, Ed. Now, here this man's got terminal cancer. He's been sent home to die. MD Anderson, Mayo Clinic, Louisville Hospital, all told him, it's over. It's over. In a few weeks, you're going to be dead. When I told him, I said, I got a word from the Lord for you, and I read this. And, of course, when I read this, he said, Thurman, I'm 42 years old. I have been in church and Sunday school all my life. He said, I have never heard that verse even read or spoken of in my whole life. He said, if something that powerful still worked, everybody would be teaching us that. It sounds like it, doesn't it? But is it in God's Word? If it's in God's Word, should it work?
Yes.
If you do it the way God said it, will it work?
Amen.
Yes, it will. So anyway, I thought to myself when I read that, I thought, wow, look at this. This is awesome. I said, Lord, that's almost exactly what I heard you say down there in that hospital room. And then I heard this little voice. Oh, but you know, that was just in your subconscious. That really wasn't God speaking to you. That just, you've read that before and it just happened to come up. Now, who do you think that might have been? Oh, you think maybe my good buddy, huh? Does that sound just like him, Scott? Sounds just like him. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to deceive me and blind my mind to the truth of the healing power of the Master, right? And has he done a good job on the church? Boy, has he done a good job on the church. But just think, the enemy tried his best that night. In fact, whenever I heard, when I read that and everything, and then I made the statement to the Lord, Lord, that's almost exactly what I heard you say down in front of the hospital. That's when the enemy told me, oh, but you know, that was just in your subconscious. That wasn't really God. You know, God don't speak to people no more. He don't do things like that. He don't heal no more. He'll do everything he can to fool you, won't he, Michael? He's good. And do you know what? I've seen people that would receive one or two miracles, and then they'll be getting ready to, their faith is beginning to get up there, and they're wanting to pray for somebody else, and then something will happen, and enemy will put thoughts in your mind, or he'll send somebody by, and Andy's just ready to do a miracle, and somebody comes by and says, what are you fixing to do? He said, man, I'm going to go lay hands on this guy and pray for him. He said, where'd you hear that? Don't you know that's from the devil? Don't you know God don't do that? Don't you know he quit doing that back in the Old Testament? I mean, maybe in the New, but God don't do that no more, Andy. He don't do that. Don't believe that. It's a lie. That's from the devil.
I heard it from my own doctor.
You heard it from your own doctor. Yeah, you know what I mean, right? Yeah. Here's a young man, when he came to me the first time, he said, Thurman, I got a problem. I can't sleep. I said, God made you a promise in the Word. He if you would obey him and believe, he would give you blessed sleep. Is that what I told you?
Exactly.
And I prayed for him, and you have blessed sleep ever since, haven't you?
That's right.
Is that awesome or is that awesome?
Awesome.
Now, what did Andy have to do? Believe God. Repent for unbelief and then find these wonderful promises in the Word. I give my saints. Is he one of God's saints?
Yes.
Are you one of his saints?
Yes,
you sure are. I give my saints blessed sleep. But he's a faith God. And when we found that scripture and you stood on it, I mean, every Sunday after that for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, Andy said, man, praise God, Thurman, I slept good every night. This is wonderful to sleep good. What did God promise us? Blessed sleep. You know, but if he's a faith God and you're having trouble sleeping, you got an enemy that's giving you some kind of a trouble. And so whenever you take authority over that spirit, command him to leave. If you know who you are, what does he have to do? He has to leave. That's exactly right. He has to leave. Wow. Isn't that something? I think we need to get rid of this unbelief, don't y'all?
Amen.
Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 one more time. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. If the good news that we preach is hidden, is the gospel or the good news that we preach, is it good news? Well, for most people, it's only good news for salvation because, did you know some churches don't even preach salvation? You were raised up in a church that didn't preach salvation, right, Scott?
That's right.
They went to church all their life, never heard the salvation message. Didn't even know it. Not only did they not hear about healing, but they didn't hear about salvation either. That's sad. When you get a church that don't teach nothing. But the good news. What is the good news? Salvation? Healing? Deliverance? Prosperity? All be made whole. All these things is part of the good news, is it, Miss Jackie? And it's supposed to be for you and me as his sons and daughters, right? It's not supposed to just be for one or two of us. It's for all of us that believe. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden from those people who are perishing. Now, Cheryl and I had a meeting with a young couple that started a ministry in Odessa. They came and sat down and talked with us for a couple of hours. And if y'all remember, when we had Howard Pittman here, when Howard Pittman died in 1979, what percentage of the people did Howard Pittman say God told him was going to heaven? How many? About 2.5 or 3%. Yeah, 2.5% is what he said. Now then, if there's only 2.5% of the people that are dying on this earth, and how many people die? Everybody does sooner or later, right? Yeah, you don't hardly ever run into anybody over 100. It's rare that you can meet somebody that's 100 years of age. Very rare. But to those that are there, it's almost impossible to... But anyway, to think about that, only 2 or 2.5% of all the people on earth that die every day going to heaven, the rest of them's going to hell. Now, that was in 79. While this young man, and his name was Andy, when he was here the other day, he said he was praying and asking the Lord, since he sees so much evil, so much wickedness everywhere, he said, Lord, what percentage of the people are saved and going to heaven when they die? And the Lord told him, spoke to him and told him, right now it's a little less than 1%. Whose fault is that? Guess whose fault that is? It's our fault. Who did he give that power to? Who? He gave it to us, did he not? Who did he tell to cast out those demons?
Us.
Who did he say to go lay hands on the sick and they'd get well? Us. Who was it he give all power and authority to on earth? The church. Us. So, look like we ain't doing too good a job, are we? So before you start patting yourself on the back, I would suggest that you listen to these things and think, Lord, when I get out of here today, I'm going to do something better for the kingdom of God next week. I'm going to pray for somebody. I'm going to rebuke the devils of hell. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to cast out demons. And I'm going to start doing something in faith. When I do something in faith, what's God going to do for you? But you know what most of us do? Oh, woe is me. How am I going to pay my electric bill? Woe is me. Oh, I'm so worried about what I'm going to eat next week. Oh, God, if you don't show up. You know, people like that hadn't read the little story about the little woman that had nothing but enough meal for one little pancake left. When the prophet come in and says, go get all them jars and bring them over here and start pouring oil in them. So she went and got them, poured all oil, poured them, filled their level full, every one of them. She poured out that little bitty bottle. Can you imagine taking a little bitty tiny bottle about that big and pouring it out and watching a great big 30-gallon jug fill up with oil? And then you go to another one and another one and another one, and you get it all. Man, you think, wow, bring me another jug. Well, there ain't no more jugs. They're all full. Wow, good. We got enough here to last forever. The prophet said, no. Take all you need to pay all your bills. Go pay all your debts. And I think God wants his children out of debt. You all know that? I don't think he wants us in debt. If you'll pray and ask God to put you in the right place, he'll give you the money to do whatever. But you got to be, I mean, if God gives you a sum of money, what is the first thing you should do with that sum of money?
Tithe.
That's exactly right. I mean, he wants the first fruits. Don't you go out, if God were to give you a $50,000 inheritance or $1 million inheritance or whatever he did, whatever you do, don't you dare go out and spend that money for something until you've given God his part. When you give God the first fruits, if you want to be blessed, then he'll bless you. Because if you don't, he says he will curse you. And you know, I don't want God to curse me. I'll tell you for sure. I want to give what's rightfully his, and I want to be blessed. You know, I've lived in the blessings. Many of you heard my tithing testimony about how I couldn't make it payday to payday when I was an airman in the U.S. Air Force, and I was making $40 a week, and I couldn't make it. And I heard a preacher that day said, you know, in fact, when the offering plate was passed that morning, you know, I took it and took my dollar bill out and put it in there, and it went on around. And he said, you know, there's people that'll come here and enjoy the grace of God and the mercies of God. And when the offering plate's passed, they'll put a lousy, stinking dollar bill in the offering plate. And when I looked up, guess where that finger was pointing? Right straight at me. So I went on and told my wife, I said, honey, we got to put $4 in that offering plate. She said, we can't make it putting one in there. I said, I know we can't. But I said, I know what God says. I'm going to start next week. We're going to put $4 in that offering plate. And we have tithed ever since, and God has blessed my socks off ever since. You know, I mean, so if he will do that for old Thurman, guess he'll do it for? All of us. Yes, we're all his children. Are we not all the children of God? I guarantee. So whatever you do, make sure that this week that you get in the Word, you read the Word, you believe the Word, and make sure that you cast out that demon of unbelief out of your life. Get him out of your house. I don't need him in my house. Do you, Jane? I'm a big enough problem all by myself. I don't need the devil helping me. We should not be afraid of telling people that we're sons and daughters of God. You know, don't be afraid. You know, I mean, lay hands on somebody this week. You know, get the word in you. Do something in faith. If you do something that don't work, don't let that be a deterrent of doing it again. Keep up the good work. It will work. When you get into faith, it will work. You know, you can cast out demons. You can heal the sick. You can do those kind of things. You can do all kinds of things because is everything we talked about today, was it in God's word? Then it's not me, it's us, right? If we're not believing these wonderful promises, just think. I am so grateful that Jane had such an awesome husband. Because little Zach, I haven't talked to him. How old is Zach now?
15.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't believe that boy's that old. But life really goes by. But Grandma, don't ever let him forget how great a granddad he had.
Yeah,
it's so sad that her husband had to go home to be with Jesus, but man, he was a man of God. I will say that, man, he was a man of God. And I preached his funeral, and I remember that when I went down there to preach Jack's funeral, I told the whole family, especially the young boys and the sons and everything, I told them, I said, you kids are so lucky. I said, there's very few, very, very few of you ever have a daddy and a granddaddy that has this kind of faith. You know that? But yet, should we all have that kind of faith?
Yes.
We should. The promises were written for all of us. They weren't written just for Jack. They were written for me. They were written for you. Wow. But we don't believe them. So this week, are y'all going to work with me to try to get rid of that unbelieving devil?
Yes,
I want to get rid of that beast. I want to be able to do everything I do in faith, because if you do things in faith, look what God said He would do. I mean, the promises are unlimited, aren't they, Mary? They're absolutely unlimited. So we should never, never worry about nothing. Nothing. What can we do in faith? All things. Nothing is impossible with us. Everything is ours in faith. You can do anything in faith. I mean, anything. There's no limitations. It's unbelief that is the kicker. We have got to get rid of that devil in the name of Jesus. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for this bread, which is a symbol of Your body that was beaten and bruised for us. Thank You, Father. That because of what You sent Your Son to do on that cross, those of us that will get a hold of it, by Your stripes, we are healed. So thank You, Lord. It's ours. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread. And then the blood, Dave talked about, there's nothing in the universe more powerful than the blood of our Savior. It's given us all power and all authority over the enemy. They shall in no wise hurt us. Is that what He said? Because of the blood. Thank You, Father, for sending Your Son and for Him spilling His blood so that we can walk in a supernatural place of power. So we can walk blessed, so we can walk free, we can walk healed, and we can walk delivered. We thank You, Father, for this blood. In Jesus' name, amen.